get to the bottom of what's truly healthy in this crazy, complex world. So you can take back what is rightfully yours. Welcome to the Health Sovereign Podcast. This is your host, Logan Christopher.
Welcome back. Here today, I'm reading another couple issues of Medical Monopoly Monday Musings. Once again, if you like these in this format, please let me know. Leave a comment on the website or reach out to me by email, however you want to do it. Love to get your feedback on this. Let's dive in. These are two great ones. Medical Monopoly Musings, number 40, Evil Lily. Quote, one of the most evil pharma corporations in the world, Eli Lilly and Company. You may have heard of them. They're evil. And I can say that because I was part of the evil. End quote. Dr. John Rangan Verapin, who worked 35 years for Eli Lilly in many positions, including as an executive. Should we believe a man who perpetrated such evil and later grew a conscience? Well, we don't have to rely just on his words. Lilly has come under fire for their blockbuster drug Prozac, fluoxetine. Ironically, or devilishly, depending on how you look at it, a drug made for depression leads to increases in suicide, not to mention homicide as covered previously in number 10. In Lilly's internal records, suicides were changed to overdoses, despite prescribed doses leading to suicides, and suicidal ideation to depression to hide the side effects. Lilly covered these up in seeking approval for the drug. Yet Verapin discussed how he bribed Swedish and German officials to approve the drug. In 1997, it was the fifth most prescribed drug, a blockbuster, making over $1 billion per year. Within the US, they worked hand in hand with FDA officials. Lilly was able to cover up its tracks for some time, including settling court cases in ways that their deeds didn't become public knowledge. Still, eventually the FDA issued a black box warning on antidepressants stating these risks. There's someone close to me that as a teenager tried to take their own life while on Prozac. Fortunately, they were unsuccessful in doing so, but others weren't so lucky. Imagine you're feeling down so your doctor prescribes you a medication. It then causes akathisia, which people describe as a feeling of wanting, needing to jump out of their own skin, leading some to try to accomplish that. Peter C. Gosha sums it up well. Lilly's internal papers disclose a long and successful battle against the idea that Prozac could induce violence or suicide, and they suggest that Lilly had an explicit strategy to blame the disease and not the drug, which some of Lilly's own scientists had reservations about. That's one case of evil Lilly's deeds. The biggest case in which they got caught was in marketing another psychiatric drug, Zyprexa, for off-label and unapproved uses. For this, they were fined $1.4 billion, which included a $515 million criminal fine, the largest ever at the time in 2009. This antipsychotic drug was given to elderly people for dementia, Alzheimer's, sleep disorders, and more. Quote, Eli Lilly's management created marketing materials promoting Zyprexa for off-label uses, trained its sales force to disregard the law, and directed its sales personnel to promote Zyprexa for off-label uses. Eli Lilly expended significant resources to promote Zyprexa in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. End quote. They also promoted this to people of all ages, including children, for anxiety, depression, and other mood disorders. This drug, too, led to deaths. Former Eli Lilly sales representative Robert Rudolph said, you have to remember, with Zyprexa, people lost their lives. No one went to jail. Zyprexa was another blockbuster, raking in at least $39 billion since 1996. So the $1.4 billion fine and their being forced to sign a corporate integrity agreement surely mended their ways, right? This literally only scratches the surface of evil Lilly's practices. They've shown a pattern of going after the vulnerable, children and elderly, with drugs that increase death significantly. I don't know about you, but that qualifies as evil in my book.
Medical Monopoly Musings, number 41. Meet the man responsible for trillion-dollar transfer from public coffers to Big Pharma. and tens of millions into his own pockets. This makes me despise politicians more, and at the same time, feel bad for the ones that are honest, as this is what they have to deal with. Billy Towson was a longtime Democrat in Congress representing Louisiana starting in 1980, nicknamed the KG Cajun for his methods. But he switched to Republican in 1994 as that party took power in the House, clearly a man of principle. His salary as congressman was $162,000. He helped to craft and pass the Medicare Prescription Drug Improvement and Modernization Act of 2003. One of the provisions of this bill was that the government was not able to negotiate drug prices with pharmaceutical companies nor import cheaper drugs from overseas. Taxpayers paid the full rate despite being the biggest customer by far. Quote, the pharmaceutical lobbyist wrote the bill, unquote, said Republican Representative Walter Jones. More importantly, see how it was passed. Wendell Potter and Nick Penniman covered this in their book, Nation on the Take, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy. Quote, early in the morning of Friday, November 21st, 2003, just before the Thanksgiving break, the 1,000-page bill finally landed on House members' desks. To their astonishment, they were told they would have only a few hours to review it before having to vote on it. The timing of the vote was in itself unusual. What came next, however, was something that had never happened before in the history of the country. Jones said it was the ugliest night he had ever witnessed in more than two decades as a member of Congress. Towson, Hastert, and DeLay, who had received hundreds of thousands of dollars from drug companies during their political careers, knew it wouldn't be easy to pass the legislation without a plan to pay for the costly new entitlement, other than through permanent deficit spending. But they believed that they had the support they needed when they called for a vote at 3 a.m. on Saturday. Among the shenanigans, reportedly sanctioned by House leaders, freezing C-SPAN cameras, and allowing lobbyists on the House floor as the vote was being taken. Despite the arm twisting, the bill was still short of 218 votes needed for passage after the standard 15-minute voting period. Rather than accept defeat, however, Hastert added 2 minutes to the voting clock. When that wasn't enough, Hastert decided to keep the vote open indefinitely to give the pharmaceutical lobbyist more time to change minds. End quote. This is an aside, but shows more of the morality of these men. Dennis Hastert would go on to be convicted of molesting several underage boys. They threatened to fire Richard Foster, chief actuary of the Medicare system, and thus blocked information about how much the bill would cost taxpayers from reaching anyone in Congress. Had this information been available, there is no way the bill would have passed. This full court press led to eventually enough yes votes being counted. The bill passed at 5:53 a.m. Towson's reward? He retired from Congress and within the next few days became CEO of Pharma with a $2 million per year salary. Pharma is the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, the industry trade group. He wasn't the only one. 15 lawmakers, staff, and officials took healthcare industry jobs within a year of that bill being passed. Craig Holman, a public citizen, said, quote, the pharmaceutical industry got rich, Congress got rich, the executive branch that worked on the bill got rich, everyone got rich on this except the American people, end quote. A New York Times article reports, quote, in 2007, the Democrats added a new provision to the House Ethics Code known as the Towson Rule, which specifically bars a lawmaker from negotiating deals for future employment while still on the job, end quote. It's always great to have an ethics rule named after you because of what you did. In his new role, over the next few years, Towson was able to kill legislation that would repeal the most egregious parts of the act. He had his hand in the Affordable Care Act, making sure it benefited his paymasters. Potter and Penniman write, quote, we can also thank Towson and many of his friends in Washington for increases in both our taxes and the national debt. In fact, by 2023, the U.S. government's debt will likely be $1 trillion higher than it otherwise would be, end quote. Towson's cut of the action grew. In 2010, Pharma paid him $11.6 million. What do you do with all that money? Wikipedia says that, quote, Towson endorsed Jerome Schneider's book, The Complete Guide to Offshore Money Havens, dubbing the book a serious contender for the best book on offshore banking I've ever seen, end quote. So he's read multiple of them. Well, I guess we shouldn't expect someone that would fleece the taxpayers to want to pay his own taxes either. Welcome to How Politics Are Played. The criminal medical cartel breaks the laws, they skirt the laws, but most of all, they make the laws because they buy the lawmakers. That last issue, I think, marks a little bit of a turning point because I've covered so much the crimes of the pharmaceutical companies themselves at this point. Obviously, super critical, important point, but we can just go company after company. I'm sure I'll be revisiting it, but I feel it's important to turn the ship, turn where we're looking more into politics, because that is such a huge piece of how this operates. If the medical cartel was not able to corrupt politicians, then this stuff would not come to pass. So that's going to be a part of it. And also how they're able to manipulate media, control the narrative. I feel these are crucial points to cover at this point, so I expect to be diving a lot more into that in the coming issues. In addition, I want to cover a little bit more on the, I guess, positive side, or what is the proper place of the medical cartel. Like, drugs do have their uses, some of them anyway. So this is something we'll be talking about in those issues coming up. Evil. Do you, after hearing this stuff, believe that these companies, some of these politicians, are evil? It's a bit of a loaded term, but I'm using the words from a guy that worked at Eli Lilly himself, describing the place as such. And there's so much more I could cover here. I literally have to cut away and not cover so many of the details or so many other cases that are possible in these. I'm trying to keep these small and digestible, and there's just so much more. For instance, and this kind of loops into the more political side, did you know that George Bush Sr. served on the board of Eli Lilly? A whole bunch of board members got appointed into these top positions within the government. This is how it works. This is how evil is perpetrated. You couldn't do it if our government really was trying to protect us. I know that's the... Does anyone actually even believe that? The government's doing a good job at such things? If they were doing that, then you wouldn't have these revolving doors going on. That would be closed off. That would be stopped from happening. Or at least limited, like, in big, big ways. But no, that is the most crucial element, because go from one position of power in the private sector to the public sector, this is how it's done. And Towson. Jeez. This story even surprised me. The details of this story shocked me. And I've been investigating this stuff for a while, but to see how they can just clearly throw away the rule book as far as passing a law. I knew lobbyists wrote the laws before. I knew they did these backdoor deals, but to literally just skirt all the rules as far as passing the law until the thing got rammed through that late or that early in the morning. It's just amazing. And it's funny, when I was writing this, going through, I got the story, and it wasn't until the next day when I was rereading it. I tend to take a couple days on each of these, going through them and then seeing what else I can find. Then it clicked for me. Hester. Oh, I know that name. I've heard that name before. That guy is a pedophile. you can't make this stuff up. Well, it occurred to me shortly after I sent it out, and I wish I had thought of this ahead of time. It's like, this is House of Cards. Have you seen that Netflix show? I really enjoyed that show. Kevin Spacey was one of my favorite actors out there. Loved him in pretty much everything he did. And turns out that guy also molests underage boys. Crazy, sick world we live in, right? So, yeah, Hastert, he was Speaker of the House. He served in Congress 20 years. This was one thing he did, obviously, working with the pharmaceutical companies and this other stuff as well. And he eventually, I don't think he even did jail time for the molesting of the boys, but for bank fraud, for trying to cover up and pay off those boys so they didn't come out. Pretty crazy, crazy stuff. Once again, so much more detail that could be gone in here. The details of Towson when he was CEO of pharma, and his actions being the chief lobbyist, if you will, in how he was able to influence government, continued acts passed, as I said, the Affordable Care Act definitely involved there. There's just so much. That's a crazy, crazy thing about this. Just there's unlimited stuff you can dig into, and it's pretty horrible when you look at it. So it is really a house of cards. As I said, we're going to be covering more of that, the ugliness of it all, because this is important stuff to know so that we can be health sovereign, recognize that this system does not have our health in mind. It is about money. It is about power. It is about control. It's mostly about money. And money does some horrible things to people. As you can clearly see, there are people without morals, without scruples, that will do anything to get ahead in these different ways. And doing so, they'll justify it to themselves. So they may think they're doing good, but once you see the big picture, and that's what I'm aiming for in this series, the big picture, look at what the pharmaceutical companies are doing, look at what the politicians in their pockets are doing, the doctors in their pocket, the media that's in their pocket, the internet that is in their pocket in many ways. Now, we're going to be covering that stuff coming up. Hope you enjoyed these issues. I feel like I'm really getting to some good stuff as I keep going on with this series, so we're not stopping. We're going to keep covering it. Thanks for listening. As always, leave a review on iTunes. That helps us out. Share this podcast with other people who would enjoy it. Thank you very much for listening.
Forget fads. How about you base your health on sound principles that have existed for millennia? That's what my book, Powered by Nature, How Nature Improves Our Health, Happiness, and Performance, is all about. If you want a special deal, my company, Lost Empire Herbs, will give you a $30 gift card to buy a $20 book. Plus, every sale will support indigenous people in the Amazon rainforest too. Find out more and pick up your copy at poweredbynaturebook.com.